welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome. We're glad that you've joined us for this edition of News in Focus. We're going to talk about the state budget this afternoon as it is being deliberated down at the Ohio State House in both the Ohio House, and it will go to the Ohio Senate for their review of the state biennium budget. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. But we want to tell you about our Spring Freedom Banquet. That's Friday, May 10th at the Akron Fairlawn Hilton. You don't want to miss this special event. Our keynote speaker is Congressman Bill Johnson of Ohio's 6th District. We're also going to have MC Bob France of Bob France Authority on the sister station of WHK will be emceeing the evening, along with author and historian Bill Fetter of the American Minute. Bill was my guest last week as we talked about the church in Europe, and you'll want to be for this special event as we focus on the D-Day Prayer Project, the effort to add FDR's D-Day Prayer at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. As many of you know, we've been working on this project for a number of years now to actually get the legislative process concluded back in 2014 as it was signed into law, passed both the old U.S. Congress, the Senate, and the House, and was signed by then-President Obama into law. And then, of course, now is the fundraising with the planning commissions in Washington, the Fine Arts Commission, the U.S. Capital Planning Commission, the U.S. Park Service, and the Friends of the World War II Memorial all have to sign off on the final design and placement. Well, we've crossed many of bridges and roads to get to where we're at now, and we're in the final stretch, and we need your help at this point. This banquet will be a fundraiser for that. There'll also be World War II reenactors with us. It's going to be a special evening you don't want to miss. You can register for it at our website at ohioca.org. You just Google Ohio Christian Alliance, and it's just $65 a seat. If you get a table of 10, then the seats are just $60 if you get a table of 10. But again, it's a general reception at 6 o'clock with a dinner at 7, and it's going to be a great evening, and we're going to have a major announcement about the D-Day prayer. And, of course, the 75th anniversary of the D-Day landings are coming up in June as President Trump will be in Normandy with other foreign officials of the Allied nations that 75 years ago stormed the beaches of France to liberate Europe from the Nazi tyranny. And so we do still have veterans with us, and we will have World War II veterans there with us that night. So it'll be a special evening. Again, that's Friday, May 10th at the Akron Fairlawn Hilton. You can register at our website at ohioca.org or phone 330-887-1922. Well, with me on the phone is our special guest, Greg Lawson of the Buckeye Institute. The Buckeye Institute is a wonderful conservative think tank right here in the state of Ohio. We are blessed to have them as they are the Heritage Foundation of Ohio is what I like to call them. Greg is a senior research fellow at the Buckeye Institute, and he really knows the ins and outs of public policy at the Ohio State House. Well, right now is the big one, and that is the biennium budget with Governor DeWine. This is his first budget as governor as he was sworn in January. And so we do see an increase in this budget, and we're going to break it down with you right now with Greg Lawson. Greg, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Chris. It's always wonderful to be on.
Well, thank you, my friend. And we were actually going to have Robert Ault, who is the president of the Buckeye Institute, but they said, hey, Robert is detained. Greg is available. I said, that's fine, because we know how thorough you are on these matters with state policy. In fact, I've gone to the Buckeye Institute many, many times to get the type of research and history and background on issues that you folks conduct, the really scientific research on any given issue that is very, very helpful to those in public policy, and we thank you for your fine work.
Well, thank you very much. That's very kind of you to say, and you know, it takes a while to kind of look through these things. These budgets are quite voluminous, and it takes a while to kind of go through and then make sure you sort of understand how we got to where we are today.
Well, let's talk about that, because this one has a big number to it, as they seem to increase each General Assembly. And part of the reason of that is because of Medicaid expansion and also education dollars. Those are actually on the grow, and there's not much that state officials can do to rein those in. But other areas of state government can be cut and can be reviewed in funding. But we have a number of things that are on the table, including the transportation budget, which just passed. Of course, there was a gas tax. We had you on earlier this year to talk about that. The governor proposed 18 cents tax increase, but it came down to about 10.5 cents a gallon for everyday folks, but it was 19 cents a gallon for diesel. Let's talk about that for a minute before we get into the budget. How did you see that, how it finally shook out? What was your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, we never, the Buckeye Institute never specifically said what the rate should actually be. We recognize that investment in infrastructure, roads and highways was important. Ohio has is particularly lucky because we have a constitutional provision in the Ohio State Constitution that mandates that the money that's derived from the gas tax stays within the road system. In that way, it's different than how other states operate with their gas taxes, and even the feds operate with the federal gas tax, where money can be diverted for a lot of other non-road purposes. So we weren't on that, but what we did say was that we needed to do offsets. We saw only a small, what we would characterize an offset, in the ultimate transportation budget that was signed by Governor DeWine. That was an expansion of the earned income tax credit, which is helpful to lower-income Ohioans who are gainfully employed and working. Since they are disproportionately impacted by a gas tax increase, we thought that that was a positive thing. But that was only about $36 million versus about, I think it's about $800 million that's going to be raised over the course of with the gas tax at the 10.5 cents. So we think there need to be other tax cuts or at least another tax credit to do an offset for all Ohioans because the bottom line is infrastructure and spending on infrastructure is something government does have a role to play, and we've never argued otherwise. But there are all these other things that government does that it shouldn't be spending on, or it shouldn't be on autopilot. There should be ways to bend cost curves down, even in education and even in Medicaid. And so, you know, we do a Piglet book every budget cycle, and I'm the principal author of that. And we just did one that we released, where we found ways to find savings by eliminating things that are really not useful, things that government shouldn't be doing, pork spending, corporate welfare, things like that. And we also said if you contain the cost of the growth, rather, of the spending, and you keep it lower than what it actually is being proposed by the governor, you can find a lot more money as well. And that gives you the space to be able to offer these offsets for Ohioans so that they don't have a net tax burden increase with the gas tax increase. So we think there need to be offsets. We're still going to be making that argument in the context of the operating budget that is being debated right now in the Ohio House, because we think that's important. Again, we think it's important that we make the investments in the roads and highways for a whole bunch of reasons, safety, economic development, but that Ohioans should not be paying an increased tax burden when the state is engaging in other activities elsewhere in the budget that it really shouldn't be doing.
Well, that's right. And, of course, what we're looking at here is that when the governor rolled this out, basically we're looking at a 4.6% increase in overall spending. Explain that to us.
Well, yeah, and there's a lot of ways that you can kind of parcel out how the budget looks. One of the easiest ways is to look at what state general revenues. And these are basically, when you think of state general revenues, these are the revenues the state gets from the main state taxes. So we've got state income tax, the state sales tax, we've got a business tax called the commercial activities tax. So the lion's share of state general revenues are derived from those taxes. Now there's a whole host of other taxes that go to separate line items, and there's fees and licenses and all kinds of things littered throughout the budget. So there's actually the overall budget is actually much, much larger than just the general budget, general revenue budget. But if you just look at that, there is increased spending there, and it's an even larger increase if you factor in all the other non-general revenues. So, you know, we actually are looking at the overall budget because one of the things that's happened it happens under every administration, but there was some pretty big ticket items that got removed from one area of the budget to another area of the budget, and you kind of got to watch what's classified as general revenue spending versus non-general revenue spending, because, for example, there's a whole bunch, like $3 or $4 billion worth of Medicaid spending used to be state general revenues. Now it's off the general revenue budget and it's in another section of the budget. But that's still total spending. That's still money that the state is spending on Medicaid. It didn't disappear. It just disappeared off of one section of the budget versus a different section of the budget. So that's why it gets really complicated and a little bit overly technical. So I'll kind of try to drive back and not go too far down the rabbit hole on some of that. But I think it's important for all Ohioans and taxpayers to understand that really you need to look at it used to be that you would just look at the general revenue budget, and that was a pretty good indicator of what the scope of government was. But as the federal government has become bigger and plays a larger role in our day-to-day life, they spend a lot of money here in Ohio. About 30% of the state budget is actually federal tax dollars that come through just a ton of different mechanisms and different programs. Some of it goes straight through the state as pass-through dollars. Some of it goes directly to individuals' hands or local government hands. It gets really messy. But that's the important thing, is to realize this is a ton of money, and ultimately, whether it's just from state taxes or whether it's the federal taxes that Ohioans obviously pay too, these are all tax dollars, and it's all government reaching into somebody's wallet and pulling it out and using the power of government to do so. And so we want to make sure that all spending is on the things that people really expect, the things that people demand, and the things that only government can and should do.
We're talking with Greg Lawson of the Buckeye Institute, a policy think tank in Columbus, and we're talking about the state biennium budget, which is being reviewed by the Ohio House as we speak. Now, these hearings before the Finance Committee are very interesting. All the different players that come in and testify before the committee, because there's a lot of provisions and amendments within the budget bill. What number is the budget bill?
It's House Bill 166 this session.
So as people come in and testify, I've been there to watch this, and it's almost like the soup line. I mean, everybody's there to sing for their supper, as it were, Greg. And it's quite a show, actually. From colleges and universities to every kind of pet project along the way. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think you nailed it right on the head. It really is an awful lot like that. The sad fact is that most Ohioans are busy living their life. You know, they're earning a living, they're working, they're raising their kids, dealing with family obligations. They're not going to go down to Columbus and wait in line to testify. But if you are getting money from government, if you're a government agency, or you're a provider that does services on behalf of a government program, you have a great deal of incentive to do that. And that's what you see. Now, that's not to say that these are bad people. The money's there. Maybe it shouldn't be in many of these cases, but it is. And so it makes every sense in the world for these folks to come there. But this creates a real challenge from our perspective. I mean, we're always trying to say what government should do less of, whether it's regulations or taxing and spending. But all of these folks have the opposite incentive. They want more, and there's always a desire for more because there's infinite wants and quite a few needs that are out there, but there have to be limitations. But legislators too often don't hear from the constituents who are back home living their life. Like I said earlier, they hear from all the people who want something. That's a challenge because that shapes how legislators think when they get ready to do a vote on the bill or do amendments on the bill. Now, I'll say I think there's going to be some paring back in some areas in this particular budget for a whole host of reasons. I think that the House recognizes that there's too much spending here. There's some arcane kind of accounting statutes that are in place that basically make them have to cut some spending for a variety of reasons. So they're going to cut it back. But, you know, the interesting thing about this is this all this spending that we were talking about, this is before we really talked a lot about school funding this cycle. There's a whole debate that looks like it could get pulled out of the budget debate, but there's a whole debate about a new school funding system for Ohio. That was quite likely over $1 billion a year, or $1 billion, I should say, over the 2 years of the budget, more than what was even in the governor's as-introduced budget proposal. Now, because of that big price tag, there are a lot of indications that that's not going to be put into this budget and will be debated separately and may come up in the next biennial budget, basically 2 years from now. But that's a ton of money. And like you said, there's never an end to the line of people who want something more.
So what is the overall cost of this budget, including state and federal dollars? Give us that number. It's a big one.
$150 billion over both fiscal years.
$150 billion for the next two fiscal years of the state budget. Well, I remember going down there 20 years ago, and I think it was something like $20 billion a year, maybe $40 billion for the biennium budget. That's how much costs have skyrocketed in those 20 years. You know, the average Joe who's paying taxes and he's looking at the bottom line for his own finances back home, he's wondering, what in the world are they doing down there? Now, let's say this. There are no new tax increases, according to the paper, in this budget. Yet, revenue spending is up, as we just said, something like 4.6%. So is this predicated upon sales tax receipts that the economy is doing so well, that the projected income, the treasury coming into the state is going to be enough to fund this? But you have concerns, don't you?
Yes, that is the basic argument. And there's actually already been some significant disagreement by folks here in Columbus. The governor and his Office of Budget Management has basically said that they have relatively rosy forecast for revenue. They think that the federal tax cut bill and a variety of other things, the economy is, of course, still growing, and we've had some good job numbers. In fact, the job numbers that just came out last week were really good. So they're saying that they don't see immediate storm clouds that are going to cause the revenues to decline, and thus the growth in revenue is going to be sufficient in order to pay for all of the increased spending. However, the legislature, the General Assembly, has a thing called the Legislative Service Commission. It's the entity that actually drafts the bills for the legislators, and it also has a bunch of researchers that work there to try to answer certain questions for the legislature. They also do an analysis of these revenue projections, and they found, I believe it was about $700 million less than the Office of Budget Management that the governor relied on. So there was already a conflict between
what
the
legislature... That's a big number. That's
big
a big
number.
Disparity. Yeah.
And so that's there's always a disparity between these two because there's always different assumptions that are built into the basically the projections that they do. That said, this is certainly one of, and perhaps even is the largest discrepancy that I ever recollect watching these budget debates. And I'll say this too. Even the Legislative Service Commission numbers, I think, are rosier than what the legislature should act upon. One of the things that we talk about in the Piglet book, and one of the things I've talked about quite a bit to different groups and in different interviews with folks, is Ohio, well, first of all, the nation is very fortunate. We are at a historically long economic expansion right now. In fact, if we, hopefully we don't, but as long as we don't go into recession before July, we will be in the longest expansion in American history. That doesn't mean that there's going to be a recession right around the corner just because we're at a historically long expansion. But what it does mean is that there's always a recession at some point that happens. And Ohio happens to be one of the states that enters recession sooner than other states and typically stays in recessions longer. So what that means is that it's now time to be prudent with spending. It is time to make sure that you're not just spending so much that you create a situation where you have a higher baseline of spending. Because what you're essentially doing, whether it's the governor or the legislature, is, you know, you're making a lot of promises when you make those kind of spending promises. And we all know that political leaders want to be promise keepers. But if they hit a recession, there's no way that that's going to happen, and they'll end up becoming a promise breaker. And that's something that nobody wants to see happen.
Well, we're talking with Greg Lawson of the Buckeye Institute. We're talking about the state biennium budget that's being discussed at the Ohio State House right now, deliberated, actually, House Bill 166. And, of course, this is a growth in expenditure. In fact, that's been indicated. There are no new taxes, per se, in this biennium budget. But there are concerns about, will there be enough sales receipts to come into the Treasury to fund this over the 2 years. Greg, there are already some projections as we're going to be heading into a presidential cycle in 2020 that some economists are talking for a growth slowdown or maybe even a recession by the end of 2020. Again, as we head into an election cycle, those of us who've been around for a number of years know that that's actually true because corporations, businesses, manufacturers don't know exactly what to expect, what the political landscape may be, and they may start drawing back or slowing down or holding their cards close to the vest. Your thoughts on that?
Well, that's absolutely right. And I'll say there's a couple of things that are coming right now, some storm clouds potentially. You know, you've got ongoing, we don't know, there's the trade issues between the U.S. and China in particular, and for Ohio, which has a lot of agriculture and does a lot of exporting. And in fact, a lot of Ohio agriculture goes to China. So there's some issues there. The agriculture community has been hit here in Ohio with that, and we don't know what the resolution of that is going to be. And just in the last couple of days, there's information that because of some geopolitical issues, there's going to be less stuff on the Iranian oil. The oil markets are going into a tizzy, and oil prices have been going up to the highest level that they've been in some time. Now, that could go away. The market could adjust. We don't know. But those are the kind of things that happen. So if you had oil prices go up, or you still have ongoing trade tensions, and there's issues with where you can go to export your stuff, that's going to have some economic impact. And I think that you also have to look at the tax cuts had a great stimulative effect. The federal tax cut package that passed at the end of 2017. I think that that's going to continue to move along at some length, but it may not have the same impact that it had, obviously, right after its passage. So when you look at all of those things, again, none of this is to say that this guarantees a recession. It absolutely does not. There are good numbers. The job numbers have come out and have been pretty good. Ohio job numbers have been pretty good. We actually are seeing Ohio incomes growing when you look at the statistics. There are some very, very good things happening. But those clouds are out there, and if they break, and you have allowed the budget to grow as much as we're seeing proposed, that is going to be a real problem. It's a lot easier to not spend the money on the front side than it is to have to cut a budget in the middle of a budget cycle, because right now we are suggesting to the legislature and the administration to use a scalpel to pare things back. You have a recession hit in the middle of a highly funded budget, you're going to not be using a scalpel, you're going to have to use a meat cleaver, and that's a bad thing. Nobody wants that to happen.
We're talking with Greg Lawson of the Buckeye Institute. Their website is buckeyeinstitute.org. That's buckeyeinstitute.org. And I'm looking at the website right now, and the Piglet booklet is out. and so you can actually catch that, and it talks about areas where they could cut in the state budget. And, Greg, thank you so much for being my guest today. What's the timetable, real quick, of the budget passing the House?
It's probably going to happen by the first week of May. They're going to ship it over to the Senate. Of course, it has to all be done by the end of June.
Very good. Well, we'll have you back before then, I'm sure, to talk about the details of it. Greg Lawson with the Buckeye Institute, thanks so much for being my guest today.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Well, stick around for the second half as we'll be talking to State Senator Andy Brenner. We'll get his thoughts on the state budget, and also the Pastors Protection Act is about to be reintroduced at the Ohio State House. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
And the soldiers who stormed the beaches of Normandy in the Allied liberation of Europe. On D-Day, all those warriors set out on their mission. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt led our nation in prayer.
Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity.
The D-Day Prayer Project is an effort to add FDR's D-Day prayer at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. This presidential prayer will be a lasting tribute to those veterans who served us in World War II. The Ohio Christian Alliance has led the effort to add the prayer. The Spring Freedom Banquet is Friday, May 10th at the Akron Fairlawn Hilton, with speakers historian Bill Federer, Congressman Bill Johnson, and World War II reenactors. To register, log on to ohioca.org, ohioca.org.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Okay, and we're back. And with us on the phone is State Senator Andy Brenner. He is the senator that was newly elected from the 19th District that covers Delaware County and Knox County and parts of northern Franklin County in the greater Columbus area. Senator, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me on, Chris. How are you doing today?
Well, good. We just had with us Greg Lawson of the Buckeye Institute. We were talking about the state budget. And before we get to the Pastors Protection Act, let's take a few minutes and talk about the state budget from your perspective. Obviously, it's a very big number. It's an increase over the previous budget. And, of course, it has hopeful projections of tax receipts coming into the state treasury to pay for it. Your thoughts on that?
Well, thank you. I think that I would rather go with the Legislative Service Commission numbers, which are a lot more conservative. We are going into a major presidential election year. Anything can happen. The economy can slow down. And the last thing we need to be doing is overestimating our revenue and then coming into a major problem right before a presidential election. So I would like to see a more conservative numbers utilized in calculating the upcoming expenditures. One thing, and I know that I've talked to Greg Lawson about this before, is that I think we do need some offsetting tax cuts from the tax increases that were used for roads and bridges. I do think that money is going to be used for roads and bridges was needed, but I think that we also need some more tax offsets. There were some put in the transportation budget for earned income tax credits, but I think we need to take a look at marginal rates on the income side because we need to keep Ohio competitive. And if we can do something at least to offset some of those tax increases on the gasoline side, that will help. And I think that needs to be considered in the upcoming budget. Overall, there is a lot of spending in the upcoming budget. I think we have to take a look at that. I think some of it is very potentially going to be used appropriately for, you know, drug addiction treatment, mental health, those types of things. And I think there's some money that's going to go into certain areas of education that is definitely needed. I know that the caps have hurt my school districts here in Delaware County and even some in Franklin County. So to the point where our property taxes are through the roof. So anything we can do to help offset the need for those higher property taxes by having more equitable school funding, I think is highly appropriate. And I would support those efforts in the budget. We're still waiting. Of course, I'm in the Senate now. I was in the House in the last General Assembly. And we're waiting to see what the House does with the budget. And I know that the Senate has started, the main Finance Committee started hearings this week. The subcommittees, I'm on one of them, the primary and secondary subcommittee. And we're looking at a bunch of different things, not just education. That, I think, starts next week. So we're going to be taking a fine-tooth comb to the budget over the next several weeks. I know that the Senate budget amendments are not due until, I think, the third week of May. So we've got a little bit of time. Of course, we still have to see what the House ultimately does with the budget before we move forward on it.
We saw under Governor Kasich the expansion of Medicaid. And, of course, it was highly controversial, and many Ohioans objected to that expansion of Medicaid under the Obamacare provisions. What are the numbers of Medicaid right now as far as enrollees? Have we seen a drawback since the economy has improved, those who came off of Medicaid and opted for private insurance? Was there any movement either way on that, Andy?
My understanding is that we have seen a decline in the enrollment due to the better economy. People are able to get better jobs, and when they do, they can afford private insurance. But we're still in the upper 2.9 million Ohioans are on some form of Medicaid. And I would hope that we can put in the state budget some more Medicaid reforms. You know, if you're an able-bodied, there's no reason why you shouldn't be working. I think that there's some other things that we can be doing in there to make sure that, you know, fraud and that kind of stuff is eliminated. So I would love to see some of those things implemented in the state budget. And I think that there is an opportunity here. I know that the federal government, I know that the Trump administration has specifically said that they're open to, you know, states being able to make adjustments to Medicaid in order to better accommodate it, because they know it's not sustainable at the federal level. I mean, we just can't. I mean, we're at, what, $22 trillion in debt, the most that it's ever been. And those numbers are going to continue to rise at the federal level. So we need to do something to continue to rein that in. Obviously, a growing economy is the best way to do it. But we need to also continue to put reforms in. So I'll be supportive of any kind of reforms that we can get in the state budget to rein in, you know, fraud, abuse, but also to work so that, you know, people are getting back on private insurance and have those types of options available.
Has the governor Governor DeWine indicated that he'd like to see more provisions put into Medicaid that would basically draw back the program rather than the expansion attitude that the previous governor had?
From what I indicated and what I've seen, I think he's for some of the reforms. He indicated it in the election, and he seems to still be indicating that now. So I think we'll get some things in. I know that price transparency, some of those things need to also be put into place. I know that Attorney General Yost has been going after these managers for prescription drugs and trying to these intermediate organizations that have been jacking up the prices of drugs, and that's impacting Medicaid as well, because that's where we do some of the reimbursement on that. So I think if we can try to rein in some of those costs, that will help somewhat to try to control it. But a couple things that are still hanging out there that we haven't dealt with and that I don't know that we're going to do in this budget, that, and I haven't heard it from the DeWine administration or anybody else, is that we have got to get something done on unemployment reform. Because when the next and at some point the election, the up and downs of the business cycle, we are going to have a down cycle. We're still going to have major problems with unemployment, where we may have to borrow from the feds again like we did several years ago. And we're not in a position right now to be able to hold the unemployment trust fund in place. So I think something still has to be done there. And whether we put that in the budget or not, I don't know. But that's another area that's going to have to be addressed. I think we need some more reforms in that as well. And I would be in favor of, you know, trying to shrink some of the number of months that somebody is on unemployment, because usually the, you know, once somebody is close to the end of unemployment, then suddenly they find a job. And I think that's just the fact that, the, you know, if they're getting paid something, that's better than nothing. So they have a less of a likely to want to go and get a job at that point. And that's just human nature. That's not to be a critical of anybody. That's just a matter of reality. So that's something else we need to, I think, take a look at. And that's going to be coming up here probably in the next few months. And then I've also heard things like, you know, the energy issues. I know that the Perry and the Davis-Besse nuke plants there's major discussion of that with First Energy. I'm not sure what's going to happen there. I actually sit on that committee in the Senate, the Energy and Public Utilities Committee. So we're kind of curious to see what comes out of the House also on that one. So there's several major things that are going to be coming up in the next 3 to 4 months in the General Assembly that we're working on that are not either budget related or some issues that I think we're going to have to address. If we don't address them, I think it could have some dire consequences in the near future.
We're talking with State Senator Andy Brenner, and he is in the 19th District. That's just in Delaware County and Knox County, just north of the Columbus area. And he has introduced a bill at the Ohio State House that has had hearings, and that's the Free Speech Bill. And he's about to introduce the Pastor Protection Act. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back to discuss those issues. Don't go away.
And the soldiers who stormed the beaches of Normandy and the Allied liberation of Europe. On D-Day, all those warriors set out on their mission. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt led our nation in prayer.
Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity.
The D-Day Prayer Project is an effort to add FDR's D-Day prayer at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. This presidential prayer will be a lasting tribute to those veterans who served us in World War II. The Ohio Christian Alliance has led the effort to add the prayer. The Spring Freedom Banquet is Friday, May 10th at the Akron Fairlawn Hilton, with speakers historian Bill Federer, Congressman Bill Johnson, and World War II reenactors. To register, log on to ohioca.org, ohioca.org.
And there's still time to register for the Spring Freedom Banquet. Again, you could do that by logging on to our website or phone 330-887-1922. Well, we're back with State Senator Andy Brenner, who introduced a bill earlier this year, the Freedom of Speech Bill. Now, you think with the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution of the United States that we wouldn't need a bill that would address free speech, but if you've seen the videos on college campuses over the last few years, you'll know that conservative voices who'd come to speak to the students are literally shouted down or chased from the room. This is actually happening on American college campuses, even in our own state. And State Senator Andy Brenner, along with some of his colleagues, introduced a bill to address that very issue. Senator, tell us about Senate Bill 40.
Yes, we're. Thank you very much for that. We are. We've basically slightly changed a little bit, but it's still the same bill, and we're moving forward with it. And it's a bill that I think we will be able to get through the Senate and the House. I think it's going to take a little bit of time, but we need to protect campus free speech, and that's basically what we're doing in this bill. I've been working with various organizations throughout the United States, as well as we've had college students come in and testify, and some of the organizations that are supporting it, like FIRE, and they've given really good testimony. In fact, when they came in and testified before the Ohio Senate Committee on the bill, there were really not many questions asked of them. I think everybody, it was fairly clear. They came in, gave examples of where students here in Ohio, college campuses, and we're talking public universities, not private. Private can still do whatever they want, but these are public universities, cannot set aside free speech zones. They can't use the heckler's veto. They can't come up with excuses to prevent what would be conservatives coming onto campuses to give free speech, like Ben Shapiro, who actually testified on this bill in the Ohio House when we introduced it in the last General Assembly. He testified on it back in November, I think it was, and we had some hearings there. He gave some really riveting testimony there of what he's had to deal with. And then we've had similar types of instances here in Ohio, especially we've had students down in a couple of our public universities in southwestern Ohio and a few other places who have had to have their conservative organizations come in and defend them, which they've done, and then they've won in court or settled to the point where they had to satisfy it. So the point of the bill is to make sure that all students are protected in their free speech, and this doesn't mean that the students go into a classroom and just start causing problems, but when we bring in conservatives and into college campuses to speak, that there's not these excuses. Oh, well, we need more security and we can't cover the cost of it. That's fine if, you know, they have standards that everybody can meet and not just arbitrary standards that can change depending on who the speaker is. So, you know, if you need a 10,000 seat arena for something, well, then you're going to have to pay for the appropriate security for that. But if you're going to say that a Ben Shapiro or somebody or an Ann Coulter were to come onto the college campus and speak, or Dinesh D'Souza or somebody like that, and, oh, we're going to need to now hire so much expenditure that for his safety and for the safety of everybody, you can't bring them in, that will no longer be allowed. And so I'm looking forward to getting this bill through the General Assembly. My companion bill has been introduced in the House, Niraj Intani. I know he introduced that, I believe, at about the same time we introduced ours. And we're both trying to move them forward, see if we can get them through the General Assembly and to the governor's desk.
And where is Senate Bill 40 right now? How many is it past committee?
The bill is in committee. It's had a couple of hearings. We're now waiting for interested party and opponent testimony for the bill, and that'll be probably coming up here soon, as we are currently on break for the Easter break here this week and last week. So we'll be back to full steam on all committees starting next week. So I suspect more hearings will be coming in early May, with hoping to get this thing passed out by the end of May, 1st of June. Of course, we've got the budget also coming up so in the Senate, so that's going to be another thing that's coming. But we've got a lot of time. We've still got a few months here in this General Assembly to go get it out and get it over to the House, with the idea that, or if the House gets it out, get it over to the Senate so we can be working on it and having it done by the fall, when we come back and send it to the governor before the end of the year.
Okay, very good. We are supportive of that legislation, Senator, and that's a good piece of legislation that the Ohio Christian Alliance will be supporting. Now, breaking news, right here on News in Focus, State Senator Andy Brenner is about to roll out and reintroduce the Pastors Protection Act. This legislation has been introduced for the last 5 years in the Ohio General Assembly, has been in committees, but is never actually made through the full legislature to the governor. And you're about to reintroduce the legislation. Tell us about the Pastor Protection and Church Protection Act.
Thank you very much, Chris. Yes, we're very excited. We've got a revised draft now, a draft here for the Senate. This bill, I will give a lot of credit to State Representative Nino Vitale, who has introduced this bill in the House before, and he's carried it a couple times. The problem has been is that it's left the House and it's come over to the Senate, hasn't been able to move. That's not to say that the Senate is against the bill. I think that my colleagues in general are supportive of free speech, and I think they're supportive of the First Amendment and freedom of religion. And I think that they would be in general supportive of this bill. So we now have the draft version. I think we're going to be putting out a co-sponsor request here the 1st of May, and hope to get it sent to committee by the second week of May, and then have hearings on it and hopefully passed out of the Senate before we go on break at the end of June. I've talked a little bit to a couple people about it over in the Senate to see where we would be and to find out what the issues were the last time that it was in the Senate after it had left the House. And I think in general, the issues have been around buildings that may be owned by religious organizations that are not used by the church for religious organizations. And so those are some areas we're going to have to sit down with some of my colleagues and see if we can work on them to get it through. But the bill itself, it's a 21-page bill, and almost all of the legislation's on the first three pages of the bill. So if you were to pull it up when we get it introduced, you'll be able to see it looks a lot like the prior legislation that had been introduced in the Ohio House of Representatives. In fact, I think most of the language is the same. This is language that was put in here that has been reviewed by various legal experts in the conservative realm that defend religious liberty. And So they believe that this has got solid language behind it and is something that should hold up in the court. And what it basically says, and I'll just read the one paragraph, is relatively simple. It says, no ordained or licensed minister described in this division section or religious society described in this division is required to solemnize a marriage that does not conform to the ordained or licensed minister's or religious society's sincerely held religious beliefs. Basically, we as members of the General Assembly under the Ohio Constitution are obliged to protect and defend our own liberties, and one of them is freedom of religion, which means that we need to be passing laws that help defend that. And I believe that what we've seen with some of the court rulings, including the Supreme Court ruling, is that this could be now an infringement on the rights of pastors and churches to be able to conduct their churches the way they sincerely believe. And so, and I like Representative Nina Vitale, believe that this is something that we need to make sure that we're protecting, because, I mean, this was what our country was founded on, was freedom of religion. I mean, all the Protestant Reformation, everything that occurred, all the people who moved over here to the United States in the 1600s, 1700s, and 1800s came over here because of religious persecution over in Europe, for the most part. And so I don't want to see that happen here in the United States. And so that's why I believe that this is important to have. And I think it is a duty upon the General Assembly and the legislature to make sure we're doing things that protect those religious freedoms that we hold dear to our hearts.
We're talking with State Senator Andy Brenner, who is introducing the Pastor and Church Protection Act. And, Senator, I like to call it that because there are those who would like to, the opponents, would like to basically exclude pastors from their church property or the institution or the religious society. That cannot be done. The pastor is a representative of the religious body, of the congregation, of the religious society. You cannot separate the two. And so it is folly for them to suggest that. And the reason why we say that is that they want to use the, you know, they'll come and they'll say, well, Pastor, we know that you object to our same-sex marriage. We want to use the church. You know, we've been members here for some time, and we want to use the church. You don't have to participate, this kind of thing. And obviously, within the ordinance of the church, they believe in the scriptural belief and fundamental teaching that a marriage is between a man and a woman. Certainly, we have compassion on those who have same-sex attraction in the LGBTQ community, but we uphold our biblical values and our tenets of our faith. And yet there are these threats that come to religious liberty, as you mentioned, that it's the founding of our nation, the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law establishing in a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereby. It's also the responsibility of the Ohio, electorate to those elected officials to support and strengthen religious beliefs and promote the good of it according to the Ohio Constitution. So, you know, this is legislation that's needed. In fact, I did a round of calls recently again, and I said, "Pastors, how do you feel about that?" They said, "Well, right now there may not be an immediate threat." But a few years from now, the political winds may shift, a more liberal sentiment may blow across the landscape, and we could be in a heap of trouble. And I believe that that's true. And since we have the opportunity now with the elected officials in place who support religious freedom, who support the church and its beliefs and protections of religious liberty, it's important now to get this done. And so, Senator, we thank you, and those, of course, will be co-sponsoring it in the Senate, and then those who will be supporting it in the House. And as you said, State Senator Nino Vitale has done a great job the last 5 years, and he's lateraled the ball to you. He's ready to be help you get it through the House once it passes the Senate. And we have gotten some complimentary support for this going into this, so we're expecting you to receive a lot of support in the Ohio Senate. And, of course, our folks will be making calls to their state senators to encourage them to co-sponsor and to support the Ohio Pastor Protection and Church Act, and that will be we'll get a bill number on it in the coming weeks. So again, Senator, thank you so much for introducing this important legislation to protect religious liberty.
Thank you very much. It's my honor, and you know, this is needed. It's something that we can do now. It may not be needed immediately, but if we wait until it's too late, then we might not be able to get it passed, and then the First Amendment will just it'll go down the drain, and we don't want that to happen. So yeah, thank you very much, and I look forward to this, and we'll be moving forward here very shortly.
Very good. Well, Senator, thank you, and we know that you're getting ready to celebrate your wedding anniversary, and God bless you and your wife as you celebrate your wedding anniversary and taking some good time off. As you said, they're in recess at the Ohio Legislature, and we wish both you and your wife blessings on your anniversary.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. God bless you. We'll have you back real soon. Well, thanks for listening today. Again, I want to remind you about the upcoming Spring Freedom Banquet at the Akron Fairlawn Hilton, May 10th, and you can register for that online at ohioca.org or phone 330-887-1922. Visit our website for all the information, the speakers. Congressman Bill Johnson will be our keynote, Bill Fetter, author and historian, World War II reenactors, other special guests. You won't want to miss this special evening. We'll hope that you come out on May 10th at the Akron Fairlawn Hilton for the Ohio Christian Alliance annual Spring Freedom Banquet featuring the D-Day Prayer Project. Thanks so much for listening. God bless. We'll see you next week.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.